The disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians wanted to entrap Jesus. It's interesting that they were in alliance together, the Herodians, those who supported King Herod, a puppet king of the Roman Empire. The Pharisees were trying to preserve Jewish identity under the Roman Empire and were opposed to cooperating with the government. They were not rebellious, but they just would not support it. But they were in an alliance to entrap Jesus in his speech. And if Jesus had answered their question in the affirmative, then the Pharisees would have accused Jesus of idolatry because the Roman emperor claimed to be a god. If Jesus had answered in the negative, then the Herodians would have accused him of treason. So they thought that they had Jesus in a trap. Certainly Jesus was smarter than both of groups, and he wanted the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians to accept God's will. They did not want a relationship with Jesus, but Jesus would not give up on them. If they were willing to accept the authority of Caesar by using his currency, then they should be willing to accept what God is doing through his divine Son. The image of Caesar was imprinted on currency of the Roman Empire. However, the image that is imprinted on the crown of God's creation is of far greater value. Human beings are created in God's image and likeness. We have a dignity that no one can take away from us. And the life and dignity of the human person is the first principle of Catholic social teaching. Catholic social teaching involves how Catholics engage in the world to establish just societies. In the Gospel reading, our Lord teaches us to repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. What belongs to God from our lives? Everything. Every aspect of our lives. Jesus is not saying that his followers should not engage in the public square and government, but they do so from the perspective that their entire lives belong to God. In the fifth chapter of the same gospel, the gospel according to St. Matthew, Jesus teaches that Christians are to have a positive influence in the world. He teaches that our witness is like bearing light in a world that has been overcome with darkness. He says, you are the light of the world, not the church. You're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church, the salt of the earth. We just heard the verse of the gospel acclamation, which comes from a letter of St. Paul. Shine like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. So the life and dignity of the human person is the foundation of all the principles of Catholic social teaching. It is reflected in the principle of the formation of families and communities, the principle of promoting the common good against self-interest, the principle of protecting one's rights and the fulfillment of one's responsibilities, the principle of caring for those who are vulnerable due to poverty and other circumstances, the principle of supporting the dignity of work and the rights of workers, and the principle of being good stewards of God's creation. Even as this pandemic wears on, we continue to advance our parish mission. of helping people to believe in Christ, to belong to His church, and to bless our communities. And in doing so, we are promoting the life and dignity of the human person. Today, I'm concluding my homily series on our 2020-2021 parish theme, which is connected, growing in Christ together. Certainly, we've been trying to do that before 2020, and we'll do it after 2021. But at this stage of the pandemic, it's important to promote the connection that we have with those who are able to worship in our parish church on the Lord's Day and those who cannot. And I have proposed four concrete actions that both groups of our parish can undertake as we grow in Christ together. They are commitment to prayer, communicating with and among fellow parishioners, contributing to parish life, and compassion for people. In considering compassion for people, I reiterate my appreciation of those who are helping us to have public worship and devotions by their service through liturgical and support ministries. Once again, I'm thankful for your concern about the safety of all by cooperating with our protocols. One of these protocols concerns the reception of Holy Communion. According to the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the COVID-19 virus can be transmitted by just breathing from one's mouth. That's why we're wearing masks. And of course, there are other causes. But this is the reason that Archbishop Laurie has strongly encouraged receiving the Eucharist initially in the hand. It is to minimize risk for the clergy and for all worshipers. On a side note, there was a recent study from Japan which detected that the COVID-19 virus can remain on a person's skin for 9 hours alive on the person's skin, unless proper hygiene is used. So I appreciate those who have changed how they receive the Eucharist because of these concerns and in consideration of my limitations and that of a majority of the communion ministers who are available to serve at this time. I've continued to talk with my doctors because I have compassion for those who, for whatever reason, cannot change how they receive Holy Communion, and they're acting in good faith. But my physicians advise me, and I take their advice, that I will not administer the Eucharist directly on the tongue on a regular basis. So I regret having several comorbidities and must reduce the risk during this pandemic. No one is indispensable, but as a parishioner was very kind to say to me as I was coming in today, we need you, so thank you very much, and I need you, all of you, as well. But for the sake of those parishioners who cannot change for whatever reason, I've tried to offer an option. There was a communion minister who volunteered to administer communion directly on the tongue. I made that communion minister available during Holy Mass at 7:30. However, for several Sundays, no communicant presented himself or herself to the communion minister. So we're going to try again, beginning on the first Sunday of November, here at Sunday Holy Mass at 11 a.m. So we will have a communion minister was able to administer the Eucharist directly on the tongue for those who desire that. And I ask those who desire that to please let fellow parishioners know that we will have that option. But I also want you to share that we need to respect the authority of the church to authorize the service of extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion when the situation warrants it. Deacons as well are ordained in the sacrament of holy orders and can administer the Eucharist to the congregation as well. And I say that because I have seen it happen that if somebody is in line and it's an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion or deacon, they have determined that by their own authority, they're only going to receive from the priest, and they switch the line. I invite people to respect the authority of the church in this matter. When the pandemic is over, I will be happy to personally resume administering the Eucharist directly on the tongue on a regular basis. But in the meantime, I'm working on reducing my comorbidities that I can control. But frankly, there are some that are beyond my control, such as my race. African Americans are disproportionately affected by COVID-19 and usually have worse outcomes. African American children are 75% more likely to die from COVID-19 than white children. So there's some risk factors I cannot remove. So I ask you to have compassion on all ministers of Holy Communion as we try to minimize risk. Having compassion for people includes inviting them to follow Christ within his church. We're going to continue the Order of Christian Initiation for Adults, which is a program for those adults who want to follow the Lord and become Catholics. But we don't even have to wait for that program. We have to reclaim those persons who have drifted away during this pandemic. Respecting the life and dignity of the human person helps all to appreciate that they were created to know, love, and serve God, our Creator. Having compassion for people includes engaging in our parish works of mercy. I'm thankful for the members of the St. Vincent de Paul Society for coordinating our efforts to help those who are in need. So now every weekend we are receiving donations for our food pantry, and the need is great now, not just at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And thanks to those who have contributed to making pasta casseroles for the Beans and Bread Soup Kitchen on the third Saturday of the month. And your poor box contributions, usually they help the St. Vincent de Paul Society in their work to help those in need. However, we're following the custom this month, Respect Life Month, to benefit Women's Center West of Catonsville. Women's Center West helps those with unexpected pregnancy to have the resources so that they can choose life before, during, and after birth. Having compassion for people also includes continuing the proven methods to slow the spread of COVID-19. Wearing a mask, practicing social distancing when necessary, and frequently practicing the proper hygiene. And I certainly hope we practice the proper hygiene when the pandemic is over. The COVID-19 virus is resurging in most of the nation, and it is wishful thinking to say that it's just going to go away. We have surpassed 8 million Americans who have been infected, almost 220,000 Americans who have died. As I've said before, the virus is not tired of infecting people and killing people. We cannot be tired of fighting the virus. And as we bless healthcare personnel today and affirm their work, my goodness, they're facing risks every day. We're just asked to put a mask on. It really should not be a political issue. From my standpoint, it's a moral issue of loving our neighbor when we know that it is a proven method to slow the spread of the virus. So, let us continue to promote the common good in this way. We fervently pray for an end to the pandemic, but the mission of the parish must continue. We must continue to connect those parishioners who are able to worship here on the Lord's Day and those who cannot at this time. We must continue to invite others to join us in following Christ within his church. To know that one is a beloved child of God who is sustained by God's mercy is the greatest certainty during these times of uncertainty. We will continue to help one another engage in the four concrete actions: being committed to prayer, communicating with one another and staying informed, contributing to parish life, and expressing compassion for people in word and action. Thank you for being committed, whether you are here in this parish church or worshiping by way of Facebook Live, to be one parish who will continue to grow in Christ together. So I continue to thank God for the privilege of serving you as your pastor. I paraphrase what St. Paul wrote in our second reading today. I give thanks to God always for all of you, remembering you in my prayers, unceasingly calling to mind your work of faith and labor of love, and endurance in hope of our Lord Jesus Christ.